You're now listening to From the Jump, where we keep the convo going with the latest and greatest in hip-hop. With your hosts, Mr. White and Syllable. They tell it like it is.
From the Jump.
What's up? Welcome to From the Jump. My name is Syllable. I'm joined by my co-host, Mr. White. We're a hip-hop podcast that talks about rap techniques, new emerging hip-hop artists, how freshmen relate or don't to hip-hop's history, as well as the latest hip-hop trends, news, artistry, and of course the culture, where hip-hop is a genre as well as a culture. And if you've tuned in to our last episode, we are interviewing D Spawn, who is the co-founder of the Atmosphere Hip-Hop Group, as well as the first album, Overcast. So, Spawn, go ahead and let us know what you've been up to recently with Slug.
What's going on? I don't know. Me and Slug have been talking about, you know, possible, you know, doing a song together again, possibly here and, you know, sometime soon. I'm working on stuff again. I took the name back, D Spawn. Started working with a legend here in Minneapolis. His name is LST. He was a street DJ back in the day and a club DJ. Very talented guy. He's self-taught on a lot of things. He can play like multiple instruments. He's one of the sickest engineers I've ever seen work. Just very talented dude. I think we put out like five tracks I've worked on with him, and there's going to be more to come.
He goes by LST?
Yeah, produced by LST. Now I just got my setup, so I'm going to start producing again as well. And so I'm working on a new album, and you guys are the first to hear this. So
nice.
I'm working on a new album. I can't tell you what it's called yet, but yeah.
Stoke. I was just listening this morning to The Imposter that LST was producing, as well as Right Now. And it's dope music. You talk about how you lowered your voice a bit and The Imposter. And Eminem actually did that as well when he was his later work. He tried to lower his voice a bit as well.
It's not a try thing. It's just a getting old thing.
Well, I gotta say, I really loved your song Right Now. Let's peep it out real fast.
Not living in the past no more, cause everything is right now. I keep it moving, baby, that's for sure, the only way I know how. Not living in the past no more, cause everything is right now. I keep it moving, baby, that's for sure, the only way I know how.
Well, so I'm from Austin, Texas, is where we're at right now. And in Austin, Texas, you know, we got DJ Screw, Chopped and Screwed, you know, Dirty South. So a lot of the tracks that I've released and that we've released together, one of them is Something About Nothing. We have Chopped and Screwed hooks and stuff like that. So the lower timber definitely is something, a thing here in the South.
Oh, definitely. I got family all over Texas, mainly in Austin.
Nice.
But yeah, I'd go down there a lot. I always like going down 6th Street, checking out downtown. Yeah. When we were growing up, there was a park called Givens Park. You know about Givens Park?
Mm-hmm. Sounds familiar.
And there's one called Rosewood Park.
Yeah.
That's over on the east side.
Mm-hmm. Yep, on the east side. So when I was in my teens and stuff, kind of during the breakdance era, they would have people out there barbecuing. They'd have people on stage doing shows and sets and stuff, DJs. It was just crazy. That was a long time ago. That was just something I remember about being out there.
Well, you know, actually, every year, for a long time, the International B-Boy Breakdancing Competition actually takes place in Austin, Texas, and I've been to it a few times. I'm in a two-story townhome, and I was renting out my bottom floor for Airbnb to make some Skrilla on the side. And at one point, I actually had like 5 breakdancers hit me up for the B-Boy competition and be like, hey, can we rent this out? I'm like, you realize I just have a couch. and they're like, we'll sleep on the floor. We don't care. We got to get to this competition.
They need to be there. Yeah.
And I'm like, that's cool. But it was dope having them here, because I was like, listen, you know, show me some of your moves. Like, I love breakdancing. And so they were just straight up breakdancing in my living room, and it was a crew of five. And so it's interesting. People, I would say it's kind of like a subculture of Austin. It's not known that there is a scene here when it comes to things like breakdancing, but there was actually classes at University of Texas that were held for breakdancing at one point in time, many, many, many years ago. But Austin is actually a hot spot for breakdancing. Probably not as big as other places that maybe that is what it's all about, because we got so much else with ACL, yeah. South By, but it's one of those things. Speaking of festivals, I wanted to ask you, did you ever go to Scribble Jam?
Yeah, we did shows at Scribble Jam. I mean, that was part of our, when we were, I think we had just became Rhymesayers. Shortly after we released Overcast, I think we started doing those, if I remember correctly. I think we were even down there when Eminem was there. I forget who he was battling.
Was it Dose One?
I remember Dose One, yeah.
Yeah. I think Eminem battled Dose One. I think that happened.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, I think that happened. Yeah, mm-hmm. I've actually met Dose One several times. I don't know what he's been up to recently. He's kind of dropped out for a while, but that was the same era for the Rhymesayers Entertainment, the Anycon, all of that stuff.
Yeah. So, yeah.
So, like, I guess when you were still, you know, in that tour phase or even after that, like, you know, did you get a chance to meet any other, you know, major artists that knew your work and were familiar with what you were doing and that kind of, like, blew your mind?
Not at the, I don't think we were that big at that time mm-hmm. for everybody to know us yet. We opened for damn near everybody. I mean, LL Cool J, Run DMC, the Fugees, De La. I mean, when I first started out before Atmosphere, I opened for Public Enemy, Nations of Millions, and I opened for Tribe Called Quest when they came out with People's Instinctive Travels. Nobody knew him yet. And when we did the show, there was like 15 people at a Tribe Called Quest show. Can you believe
that? Everybody got
stuff. Oh, man.
But that's crazy, though.
That's history.
That early on that nobody knew who they were, really.
And that was at Glam Slam, Prince's old, he used to, I guess, promote it, I guess. Yeah, and that was roughly 89, 88, somewhere around in there. And that was about the time Slug was kind of being my DJ. So I would go in over to his house. He was in a record pool. So I'd get records from him and go, you know, make my samples or whatever and go to the studio and just knock stuff out.
Let's talk about some of the work you're doing now. So you say you got an album that's in the mix?
I would just say it's at its start. It's at its very start.
Okay.
But I guess, like I was telling y'all, you know how things come from the heart, and you know, that's kind of like, it's going to be somewhat of how I grew up, my whole story, almost like a bio, but kind of my whole story. And there'll be some fun stuff in there as well. But I just figured, I don't know, there's a lot of things that I still have to get out. There's a lot of life that I've lived that I haven't talked about. And I got millions of songs in my head right now.
Yeah. I think the stories need to be told. It's important. I think that's what draws people in. You know, you look at the success of Nas. A lot of it is narrative. A lot of it is that he was talking about real stuff that happened to him, you know, and it wasn't the kind of stuff that you may see later on that's engineered to try to sound like other people's stories just because mm-hmm. they feel it may be popular. This is legitimate. This is how I dealt with things. This is what I had to go through to get here. Right.
Exactly. Exactly. That's kind of the theme of this album. I work with DJ Stage One. Now he was always like our DJ, like to, you know, when we first started out with the rhymesayers and the headshot stuff, he was always like our DJ for all the crews and stuff. Also my very best friend, he's a good brother. We're doing here on May 29th, we're doing a great day in Twin Cities hip hop. And he set that all up. This is his thing. This will be the third one. It's like we get everybody that ever did anything, breakers, graffiti artists, DJs, you know, the whole whoop. And we all take this big giant picture of people involved and you know, even different sections. So we'll have like all the graffiti, you know, and then all the DJs and then, you know, all that stuff. But this will be the third one he's done. He also wrote a book, which y'all should check out. It's called The Bridge Is Over. Kind of his coming to story, growing up in hip hop.
I went to a Scribble Jam in Cincinnati at Annie's for that venue. It's KRS-One actually was there performing at that point in time. On the Stop the Violence tour, he was doing that, and I got to see people freestyle battle. So we've talked about this on the podcast before, but so there's something about people doing recited verses for battle rapping that I don't truck with. If you're battling, I mean, if it's a diss track like Drake and Joe Budden or Meek Mill and Drake, right, I can see that. I can see like the back and forth. But if you're there in person and you're just reciting verses, I'm mm-hmm. sorry, the energy there isn't as good. And there was
for that, because I've always felt that way. And yeah. I've always felt that way. I mean, I get it if you're gonna do like a record for record or something like that. Oh, yeah. You made a record about me. I'm gonna make one about him. I get that. As far as when we used to battle rap back in the day, it was always freestyle. Cats would come off the top of the head. But that, you know, me, I wasn't a good freestyler. I always wrote down my stuff. I'll just keep it real. But I was the beatboxer at that time anyway, so I didn't have to make clear. There was a guy, his name's Tyrone Hawkins. We used to call him Ice Cream Tea. I'd never heard anybody in my life freestyle better than that dude. He was the illest. He'd make a song out of anything. And we'd be walking down the hallways, and, you know, it was two of us, Todd Zeno, he was Phase One, and me and him were like, we would beatbox. We were like a beatbox duo. And then Ice Cream, he would freestyle all the time. And we did like talent shows at school. But man, just, you know, there's a lot of good MCs here that haven't got their due.
One of the things that I loved about Scribble Jam is the fact that it brought together all the elements of hip hop for the graph artists, DJ battles between DJs, rap battles, freestyle competitions, all that, graph expos. And so I loved that at Scribble Jam, they had live freestyle battles, and it was going down. It was going down. These two cats were battling, and one of them was like a Chinese dude, and it was messed up. He was like doing some self-dissing as a part of his reply to the other guy. And he was like, you know, I'm gonna ruin your future. You think just because I'm Asian, I'm your math tutor. Like it was all off the top. And I was, well, it's like 3,000 people there, and they're all freestyling in front of 3,000 people live on the stage at Scribble Jam and Annie's in Cincinnati. And I'm like, wow. I mean, the balls that it takes on you to be able to come up with that and those lines with the heat and the energy and to keep it going. Like, I've never seen stuff like that before.
It's like, you know, you hear how people say speaking in tongues.
Yeah.
So there's times where, like, I don't freestyle, like I said, but there's times where I've caught a freestyle and gone on forever and it all made sense and it was all right there. And I wish I would have recorded it and blah, blah, blah. But there's times I think it's with freestyle, you know, people practice it and whatnot, but there's a certain vibe, there's an energy behind that that keeps you going, that keeps you, you know, that keeps you coming up with something. I don't know. Maybe I'm getting too deep, but
it's too deep for the intro. Quote J. Cole. Speaking of J. Cole and speaking of other artists, so I'm curious about your perspective. So you're the generation before my generation, and I'm the generation right before Mr. White's generation, right? So we got three different generations right here on this call. And so on the podcast, and so I'm curious about your perspective about how hip hop has changed and evolved. And I wanted to ask you, out of what you've heard recently, are there any freshmen that you like? What don't you like? Is there any kind of social commentary you have on how hip hop has evolved post 2000 even? And if there's anything that you're listening to now that you feel is very inspiring, that's new or fresh.
Man. I think the change has been in the message. And I think like the commercialized hip hop, like I think we had this conversation on the phone.
Yeah.
Like, there was the message back in the day was always peace, love, and unity. It was always like a have fun thing, how to better ourselves and
a lot of Zulu Nation.
Right. It was that kind of vibe. And that's, you know, I grew up in it. But it's like I've seen the change. It's like a lot of people are glorifying killing people or glorifying drugs. It's like all the bad things basically are being glorified and people are getting famous from it. And downside from that, that's why there's so many people in jail. Because they're buying up all these, well, they're making jails, they're building jails. And people are like in power that they're investing money into it. And so by promoting these things, and these different, you know, like I'm a pimp. Hey, I'm a pimp. That's the best thing in the world to be. We got all these kids aspiring to be gangsters and drug dealers and pimps. I mean, there's more to life than that. And I don't really care about, you know, how many cars you got, what kind of diamonds you got. If you got the baddest broad, whatever, that it doesn't matter to me. It's like a soul, you know, but what are you about? You know, that message is gone. It's like, nobody's telling the story anymore. Nobody's trying to uplift. And I mean, well, I can't say nobody, there's this very small few trying to uplift our people.
I mean, you know, I think it's when you saturate, and it's like with any market, if you saturate the market with a certain type of thing, I mean, it's the fast food culture, microwave culture type of thing where people no longer can appreciate things that have more substance to it, right? Like they want a 2-minute song where people just going crazy and talking about the glizzy and all of that. And it's like, even myself, you know, I grew up off of, you know, classic hip hop, even though like I would consider the first time that I really was able to consume music in the late 90s around the No Limit and the Cash Money era. But even still, like I had an appreciation for the Tribes and the De La Souls and KRS-One and all these older acts that, you know, were before me. And even to this day, it's like, I could say that I saw that I call it the Machiavelli effect, where people, you know, they look at Pac and they only remember him for that project. But pretty much every project before that, he had all this substance in his music, but they only remember his thug life and being a gangster and all that. It's like, you know, they're not well-rounded anymore. It's like, yeah, okay, maybe you had to do what you had to do in the hood to survive.
Yeah.
And listen to like,
you don't have to strive for that kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's not an accomplishment to go to jail or, you know, have six baby moms. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just trite. And it seems like people, they don't see what they're doing to the youth in that way. Like, and I've had my times where I probably made some cliche music here and there.
I'm guilty of it too. I've made songs that, you know, sometimes maybe I shouldn't have said that or whatever, but you know, it's just like, for example, you're driving down the street you got your music bumping, you're feeling good, and you come across some older folk that are just sitting, maybe sitting on the bus stop or something like that, do you turn your music down? Like, as far as if it's got explicit lyrics, or do you hear all these, you go by some old folk chilling and everything's mother this and mother and thing and that and bitch and this, you know, we were always trying to hide that stuff from the elderly or the kids, even the little kids, just out of respect, you know, or just coming through the, you know, some people come through the neighborhoods and you're like, damn, there's an earthquake.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You were talking to me on the phone. You were talking about how when you were kind of developing kind of the genesis of what turned out to be Overcast with Atmosphere with Slug, is that you were talking to me on the phone about how you saw what was going on with a lot of the kind of real catering to the gangster lifestyle, and that you had decided to do something different.
Yeah. I mean, everybody was doing that. Everybody was like, you have to be this way to make it. You have to come off hard to make it. No, you just have to be yourself. And we started telling stories that we knew, and it just worked. But that's the thing. That's the thing about rappers now and beat makers. Everything, everything you hear sounds exactly the same. Even the message in it, it's just said differently or worded differently. But the music itself, it's got always got the same drums, always same beat. You know, people like even J Dilla. I love J Dilla's music. You hear a lot of beat makers that are influenced by them, and it's like people take something that's you know, that's popular, and they ride on that. You know, I get it, you know, maybe get an idea from it or something like that. But do you? It's just like everybody's trying to sound the same to me. I don't know. And it's just old. It's like anytime I turn a radio on, it's like I change the channel for the most part.
I think the art of just being yourself in music is something that, and in any aspect, is something that's a lot more challenging than it sounds. It sounds so simple. You know, one of the best advice that I've ever heard was by a cat who's been established here in Austin for a long time. We were outside of a venue in Austin, Texas, after he had done some shows and some freestyle, and we were talking about it, and he gave me one of the best advice he ever said. It said, the more you are able to be yourself on stage authentically, the more the audience will resonate with you, because they'll see some of themselves in you. And
yeah, and they'll see you comfortable with yourself.
Yeah,
exactly.
Well, Spawn, it's been a pleasure talking with you today. Let's definitely stay in touch and keep talking. I'm really honored that you happen to, you know, cross paths. I've been friends with you on Facebook for years, and you know, I've kept up with what you've been doing, but we were only in this pre-launch phase, and I thought, man, it would be dope to have Spawn on. And so
I appreciate you guys. I appreciate it. Yeah.
You definitely, you know, and it just like what a lot of people that we try to talk to about hip hop, like you're a beacon of the culture, right? And I think that that's kind of what is missing nowadays. Like, people don't even understand that hip hop is more than just rapping and stuff like that. Like, you were, you know, you were talking about doing your own production, and it's just everything was so organic. And where, you know, you didn't have a whole team of people doing everything for you. You know, it's like,
no, like we had to get speakers and you know, use wires to tie them together just to make it work.
What's that?
Exactly. Yeah, wire.
You have Bluetooth.
Super thin wires. And, you know, you braid it together and then, oh, okay, then we got that. Then we'd have like another speaker, you know, from a different record player or something like that. And it just, you tried to make it work. Everything we did, we tried to make it work. It was just real innovative back then.
Where can people go that listen to this podcast and want to check out more of your music?
I have video on Vivo, Despawn 100, or Despawn Music 100, Vivo. And then Despawn Music on YouTube, Despawn Music on Spotify, pretty much every download thing you can look at. And there's more to come.
Sweet.
I can't wait for y'all to hear.
Definitely. Yeah, man. I'm definitely wanting to check that out.
We'll check it out. I want to thank our listeners for tuning in to another episode of From the Jump.
I'm not living in the past no more, because everything is right now.
I keep it moving, baby, that's for sure. The only way I know how. Not living in the past no more, cause everything is right now. I keep it moving, baby, that's for sure. The only way I know how.
Yesterday was dark, now I'm cool. I found my way, vision is back in full view. The picture is clear now, almost see-through. Transparent, recognize good from evil.
People, people, we gotta get over before we go under.
No time for slumber. Splash water across my face, wake up for me. Got a lot of lost time to make up. So I do what I can with what I have and who I am. Stand for peace, fall for nothing, not never.